It's pretty amazing, isn't it? That looks pretty cool. Well, guys, this morning, what we want to begin by thinking about, by considering, is the fact that there are 6 billion people on the planet right now. Is that little marble right there? 6 billion people, which means there are 6 billion stories being told every single day. Stories that have beginnings, right, with babies being born, and stories that are coming to an end in the deaths of friends, loved ones, maybe people you don't know, every single day. But there are 6 billion stories being written, being told every single day. And did you guys know that in the midst of the 6 billion stories, you yourself are writing a story? Did you guys know that? You, right there, you're writing a story, sir. Ma'am, right over there, you're writing a story. We're all writing stories. We all have something to tell. We're all in the middle of our lives, and our lives are telling someone something. Now, as I'm saying these words, you're probably thinking to yourself, but Eddie, I'm not telling a story. Like, my story is not worth somebody reading. Let me give you an example of what I mean by that, Eddie. When I get up in the morning, my story is a lot like this. I fix my breakfast, I get dressed, send the kids off to school, go to work, come home, fix dinner, go to bed, repeat. That's my day, every day. That's my story. Not exactly what anybody would call a page turner, right? This is not something that anybody would want to hand over to a friend and say, you got to read this, unless that person is dealing with insomnia or some sort of sleep deprivation where they just need to go to bed real quick, where you hand them your story and say, listen, I've got something that'll put you to sleep like that. Don't most of us feel like that, though, with our stories? That our lives aren't, like, spectacular? That our lives are kind of just boring, normal? We get into our routine, right? We get into our little deal with our lives where when we look back, we're thinking to ourselves, no, not special, not exciting, not adventurous, not something to literally write home about. It's just our lives, right? It's not a story. It's nothing awesome. It's just us being us, living another day. But yet, how many of us, if we're honest, and let's be honest, because we're all friends here, how many of us, if we're honest, we watch other people's stories a lot, don't we? We pay attention to other people's lives. We look through media and the TV and other outlets and follow people around their lives. And a lot of times, for many of us, we've gotten kind of caught up in this reality TV business, haven't we? I mean, raise your hand if you love reality television. Fantastic. A portion of about 1/7 of us in the room are in love with reality TV. You've got Survivor, right? You've got Big Brother. You've got Top Chef. You've got Man vs. Food, Man vs. Wild, Man and Woman vs. Wild. You've got, it's endless. You go on TLC, you go on Discovery, you find people's lives being filmed, literally filmed, like a story, right? And we're intrigued by that. We're inspired by them. We're pumped that their life is so much more exciting than our life, that our life looks kind of boring compared to their lives. And I think the reason for that, though, I think the reason why we kind of get like a little disconnected with our own life, we're not really thinking about our lives as a story, we're not really thinking about our lives at all because of the routine we find ourselves in. I think the reason why that is, the reason why we find other people's lives so much more exciting, is because in our routine, in our day-to-day grind of life, going to work, coming home, being a mom, being a dad, whatever, we kind of lose sensitivity to our lives, don't we? We kind of lose sensation. We kind of lose feeling as it relates to us being in our lives, writing our stories, telling our tales. And what I mean by that is I mean that for many of us, as we sit here today, in our lives, we've become numb. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Like, numb. Like, when Memphis gets that one snow a year, and we go outside, and we get the snowball together, and we're picking out kids in the neighborhood we can peg with them, or we get with our families, and we're building a snowman, and we're doing all we can to see as how high as we can, because we know in 45 minutes to an hour, the sun is going to melt the snow, and there will be no more snowmen, there will be no more snowball fights. We better get this in quick. So we do what we can, like we're on some sort of like reality show where we see as fast, how fast we can get dressed. We go outside, We get our snow on, and all of a sudden, as we're having fun, enjoying ourselves, snow is starting to trickle into the bottom of our gloves, right, into our boots. And after time, after a while, we've lost feeling and sensation in our hands. You guys know what I'm talking about? When we can see our hands, we know they're connected. You know they're at least filling our gloves out, right? But we just don't feel them. We do this right here. No, I got nothing. I better go inside now. I feel nothing. And it's a slow process. Sometimes it's quick. Sometimes it's not. You walk in, your feet and your hands are numb. Or like when you go to the dentist. Raise your hand if you love the dentist. Yeah, right. There are times at the dentist's office where you're just blown away, right? Because he tells you, hey, I need to give you this little shot to fix this little small little issue right here in the back part of your tooth. And you're like, all right, cool. They hit you with the gas. They shoot you with the needle. And then in like 12 seconds, it feels like the whole right side of your face is completely numb. Right? Like lip drops, nasal passage shuts down. You start talking like this. Your right eye just gets all teary. You can't hear out of your right ear. The whole half side of your face is numb. That's numb. Right? No feeling whatsoever. You know your cheek's there. You know you can do that, but you don't know what you're doing. You go get something to eat after you leave the dentist, and it's just a mess, like a two-year-old again, right? It's just all over that side of the face. You can't chew. You don't know what's going on. You're numb. You see, guys, that's how I think our lives are sometimes, aren't they? Don't our lives get numb? Don't our lives kind of just go into that I can't feel anything mode where we're just kind of going about our business, living our lives, doing the rat race, doing the routine, doing the grind, where we kind of just feel numb? But isn't it also true in the midst of our numbness, in the midst of our feeling without feeling, that there's a story that we hear online, or we hear from a friend, or we're watching the news, and somebody picks up something amazing? Could be a business has started, right? And this guy is helping other people help other people who help other people. It could be, you know, just somebody went into a burning building and saved somebody's life, and we're like, wow, that's incredible. It could be a myriad of things, right? Where there's a story that comes across your radar, and you're like, holy smokes, that's amazing. Like, that's stirring something inside of me. Like, I'm gaining sensitivity back to my heart, it seems. Like, my life has meaning and purpose again. It's like, I can go change the world now. And today we have one of those stories. You guys want to see one of those stories? There's a story today that I want to show you that happened 6 years ago. But if you watch the story, and I've watched the story countless times, there's something that happens to this young man who just wanted to play basketball. He was given his opportunity to play basketball, and he took the most of it. He made the most of this opportunity. So as we watch this video, and I come back up here, let me know what's changed within inside you. Let's watch this video together.
Moments that as an athletic director, if I retired today, this would be the one.
So what do you guys think? It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome, right? I mean, who in here is wiping the tears away right now? Who in here is crying right now? Who in here has that emotion that kind of like, oh my gosh, let's go change the world. Everybody in here, get up right now. We can go do it. We can fix it. Whatever the problems are, we've got it. That's what stories like that do to us, right? I mean, that's what happens when you see a story in your life. That's just amazing. But you see, guys, the reason why for many of us, our lives are kind of just normal, blah, shrug your shoulders about it. The reason why we feel numb in our life is because there's something going on inside us that's a little deeper than just our surface going through our daily business type deal. But the reason why for many of us that we're numb is because at the heart of us, there's something going on. There's something that for many of us, it can be categorized as just a disconnection, a backing away, a pushback of who God is in our lives. That for many of us, we encounter God sometimes, and for us, it's God's out there, God's around us, but he's not actually impacting me, doing things for me, going around me. He's not, his presence just isn't where I thought it would be. That for many of us, we know God is the one who created all this. We know God sent his son Jesus, but as it relates to me in my daily life, I just don't feel him. Because a lot of us, the reason why our daily life is just so numb is because our spiritual life is numb. That God, for some reason, to us, just doesn't do it for us anymore. Like, we want certain things. We have dreams and aspirations. But there are two things that have happened in our lives that make us feel like God's just not there. And the first thing that usually we run into is disappointment. It could be the loss of a job. It could be the loss of a promotion. It could be the fact that you're just not where you want to be financially. It could be the fact that you're not where you want to be relationally. You've tried and tried and tried to be the woman or the man you want to be for someone else, and you just fall short. You're just disappointed. And in that disappointment, you find yourself spiritually numb, where God just doesn't seem to have anything going on in your life. You just can't feel him. He's just not there. And in other cases, even more extreme cases, where tragedy strikes, where you lose a loved one, where you get a call from your mom or your dad and they say, hey, I've got cancer. I've got some sort of other abnormality physically. So-and-so has been in a car wreck. And it's in those tragedies, in those situations where for many of us, we lose the touch of God. We feel like we don't feel him anymore. Our experience as it relates to who God is becomes numb. But guys, here's the thing. I want to tell you why that is. I want to tell you where we can go from here. I want to tell you something that for many of us, we need to know the reason why we can believe again. The reason why we can have life again. We don't have to go about our days numb spiritually anymore. Because here's what happens when you're spiritually numb. You ready for this? It affects everything else in your life. It affects how you view your job, how you view your wife or your husband, how you view your kids, your neighbors, your coworkers, that stranger at Walmart. It impacts and influences everything. And when you're spiritually numb, you don't feel anything for anyone. See, guys, we have a story today. It's an amazing story. It's an incredible story. This story has to do with a guy who was spiritually numb as well. And he also had something else wrong with him. He was physically numb. Like, he literally had a disease that affected his skin. Like, he didn't have the nerve endings sending synapses and brain waves back to his brain saying, you can feel this. And the disease he had is called leprosy. And I have a picture to show you what this actually looks like. It's pretty rough, isn't it? The guy that we're going to read about today had a problem physically. And he wanted to get healed. And he wanted to do whatever he could. And he took the encouragement from his friends to go down from his place, his residence of Syria, down to a place called Israel, and to go meet a king. He was influenced by his wife, by his wife's servant, and by the king to go and take himself and his friends down there to get well. And this guy just bagged it up and went down there. And he meets the king, and the king can't help him because the king doesn't know his struggle and his abnormality. The king says, listen, I can't do anything for you. I'm not God. And he gets upset and he tears his robe, a sign that blasphemy has been spoken. Like, who would this king actually be if he could heal people like God can? So this guy's in his story. He's in his life. He's disappointed. He's disheartened. He's got leprosy all over his body. And he's going to try to find help. And the first door that he goes to, it's locked. The king can't help him. But another door is opened. And in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 8, we begin reading about what happens next in this guy's life. It says, but when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. You see, guys, what's funny, this guy that was dealing with leprosy, his name was Naaman. And he was the commander of the army of Syria. He had an incredible position of power. And he was looked upon. But as everybody looked at him, he had a problem. And he goes to this guy, Elisha, and Elisha says, hey, listen, king, let him come to me. I can help him. So verse 9, Naaman goes with his horses and his chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha then sends a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. Now listen, if somebody had a problem, right, if you have a problem, and someone says, hey, I've got an answer for you. And yet the reason and the way they distribute their information, the ways and the way they tell you how to fix your problem isn't something you're thinking works for you, isn't something that you think is going to help you. A lot of times, for many of us, we just say, nah, I'm good, don't we? If somebody wants to help you, if somebody wants to encourage you, and you just don't see exactly what they're talking about, you're thinking to yourself, thanks, but this makes no sense. You see, guys, this is exactly where Naaman was, because in verse 11, he gets angry and he walks away, he storms away, and he's thinking to himself, behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. See, Naaman leaves his area of Syria. He comes down to Israel to get healed. He goes to Elisha, the prophet, and instead of Elisha bringing himself out to him, he brings his servant out. And his servant says, hey, just go take a swim in the Jordan 7 times and you're golden. This guy's like, what? This makes no sense. And he begins to rationalize. He says, but listen, he says, verse 12, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not just go and wash in them? This guy's trying to make it easier for himself to get well, to get healed, to get clean, to become physically sensitive again because he is physically numb. He has leprosy. He wants it off of him, and he's trying to figure out a way that he can do it himself. How can I fix this problem? Can I go back to my homeland? Why do I have to stay here? I wanted to see the king. You send me to some guy who doesn't even show up. He sends his messenger to tell me this good news. And you find Naaman, the commander of the army of Syria, even more upset, even more disheartened, even more numb, and not just physically. Think about it. He's becoming numb and has been numb spiritually. Like he's lost hope at this point. He doesn't feel it anymore. He's walking away from this prophet thinking to himself, there is no help for me. There is no hope for me. There is no change that I can actually experience to make me actually feel again. I just want to feel again, he says. But then something happens. a turning point in the story. It's pretty awesome. As he turns and goes away in a rage, verse 13, his servants come near to him. And they say, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, wash and be clean?" I mean, guys, how many of us have friends, right, that have told us, "Hey, if you'll just do this way, you'll get exactly what you want." And then how many of us have not done what our friend has encouraged us to do, or just thought our friend was out of their mind? And yet here we sit, months, years later, in the same numb state that we were in before. You see, Naaman had friends, right? I mean, the servants go up to him and say, listen, you're telling me that all you've got to do is just go take a swim in the Jordan River to be clean, to get that off your face, off your arms, off your feet, to feel again. All you have to do is just go take a swim. You've got to actually take off some clothes and go dip into some water. That's all you have to do. That's not that hard, Naaman. That's not that difficult. You, me, when we get encouraging words like that, where we can actually make an adjustment in our lives, a lot of times, it's not that hard. And in this case, it was super duper easy. So Naaman, completely going against what he knew to be right, completely going against what he hoped to be the way this would go down for him, to not have this magical moment with Elisha at the house happen like he expected to. He thought he would just come out and lightning bolts would strike and thunder would roar and he would just wipe his hand over the leper's spot and all of a sudden, voila, cured. Like a magic show. Didn't happen. The king couldn't help him. Elisha didn't even show up. And yet his servants whisper something to him or yell something at him, whichever the case may be. But Naaman, it says in verse 14, goes down, dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, according to the word of the man of God, that's Elisha, and his flesh restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Other translations say he was like a baby. And guys, what I'm thinking about this, because let that sink in for a second. This guy was covered up in leprosy. You saw a picture of what that looks like. It's not pretty. It's completely, for some people, in some cases, in some areas, the opposite of clean. Like, it's detestable. Like, you were put in different areas. Like, leprosy is something that is contagious, and you do not want it on you because you lose sensation, you lose limbs, you have face nodules like that guy in that picture. It's awful. And Naaman comes up out of the water. And when I think about what Naaman must have experienced, must have felt as he come up out of the water, because his servants were around him, right? His servants were like, "Well, I'm going to see him go in the water 7 times because I've got to count, because Naaman's smart, but he might miscount. So we're going to make sure it's 7. He comes up out of the water and he's like, "Naaman, you've got to find something reflective right now. Like something reflective now. Like you've got to go find something you can see yourself in. Could be something metal, could be a sword. Go find a mirror, something." And when I think about what Naaman's face looked like when he came up out of that water, I think it looks like just like this. I mean, how blown away you think Naaman was? How incredible do you think this was for Naaman? He was covered up in leprosy. You saw a picture of that. And now he comes up and boom, he looks like this little kid, this cute little baby. He's got a cute little baby face. His skin was like that of a, it wasn't just cured of leprosy. We're talking looking like that of a young child. Blown away. His story, guys, goes from being a boring, you're not going to find this in the Bible story, to an amazing story. Why? Because when he went down into the Jordan River 7 times, he came back up clean in 2 ways. Not only was he clean physically, not only did he look like that little baby, he also was clean spiritually. There was something going on inside him when he recognized that all these things were starting to fit together, that all these pieces and all these players and all these characters and his story were starting to kind of
hone in and make sense that as he came up out of the water, as he looked at his arms, as he got something to reflect his face and finally see himself clean for the first time, he knew full well that God had done something. And in verse 15, this is what he says. He goes back to Elisha. I'm sure you can imagine just running back, right? Just keep looking at his hands. Keep touching himself. Keep trying to feel. What does that feel like? What does this feel like? What does that feel like? What does this feel like? He's been numb for so long. He's finally got a sensation, his feeling back. And it was God doing this. And this is what he says, verse 15. He returns to the man of God, he and all his company, and he came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." How awesome is that? How amazing is this story? Guys, Naaman didn't go to Israel to find God. He went to Israel to find a cure for his leprosy. He went to Israel to go back home as soon as possible to take over his job and to do his thing and to get back into his normal routine and to go about his normal, boring life. That's what he wanted. But he had hope. And he kept doing these little things. He kept taking steps in the right direction. He kept following this path and this plan that people were put in his way to make sure it happened for him. And when he came up out of the water, he was not only clean physically, but he was also clean spiritually. You see, guys, the one thing that we need to know about spiritual numbness, the one thing that we need to begin to remember and recognize as it relates to God and as it relates to us spiritually, and the fact that for many of us, we sit here today with some disconnection, with some loss, with some, "God, where are you? I don't feel you. I don't get it. I don't see your presence. I don't know why you do the things you do sometimes." Naaman was going through all of that. Naaman was experiencing those very emotions himself as he was going from Syria all the way down to the Jordan River. But when he came out, he recognized one truth, and that's this, that God is God. That he is sovereign, that he is in control, and he is working feverishly for the people around him. That Naaman thought that it was just random that this servant was brought into his house. It was random that his wife told him to go down and talk to his king about going to Israel. It was random that the king of Israel tore his clothes. It was random that Elisha told him, "Hey, come see me." It was random that the messenger comes out and tells him, "Go do this." It was random that the servant said, "Hey, you might want to listen to him." But as soon as he came up out of the water, all that became purposed, planned, a working of God in this man's life. Do you guys see that? That's what makes his story amazing. And that's where we find ourselves most of the time, having this choice to make in our lives. Are we going to let the disappointments and the tragedies that affect all of us, because nobody's immune to it, keep our stories from being amazing? They're going to keep our lives from having feeling and sensation. Are we going to let what happens to us keep us numb? Or are we going to recognize God? Are we going to look at stories like that, that I promise you guys are specifically in some cases written for us to read and absorb and remember and recognize and think back and have these big, huge emotional, spiritual charges go off inside us thinking, you know what? God's God. God affected Naaman in such a way that he recognized him and worshiped him. God took a guy that did not matter at all in history to a position that will be preserved forever and ever in the Bible. Maybe he wants to do that within my life. What's it going to take? A recognition. An understanding that God is God. That God has a plan and a purpose for you. That if you walk in his direction, even if it doesn't make any sense, listen, even if it makes absolutely no sense the direction God's taking you, much like Naaman, it's okay. Why? Because God's God. He's sovereign. So the challenge today that I want you guys to walk away with is think about your week this week. Think about your life this week. Think about how you try to figure out where God is. Is he close? Is he far away? Why is he far away? And then consider, do I remember and recognize that God is sovereign? Do I remember and consider the fact that my life is much more than just another day? That my life can be a story. And not only that, an amazing story. It can be a journey. It can be an experience. And all I've got to do is connect with my Heavenly Father and just know the things that I know are true, that he is there, but that his presence is also there. That God is working and moving and doing things in my life that as I live my life and tell my story, I could point back in history. I can look forward to the future. I could be pumped and excited like we were when we saw J-Mac in that video. Where we know deep down full well that God has us right where he wants us. And that when tragedy and disappointment collide with us, we look to God. We trust his sovereignty. And we live our stories out. And they become amazing. So guys, that's the talk today. That's what we wanted you to grasp today, is that God is God. That he is sovereign. In order to shake yourself of your spiritual numbness, to be able to feel again, we have to recognize that truth. We have to believe in that daily. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, for a story like Naaman's, for all these amazing stories that are found within your Bible, within your word. God, I pray that there are those in here who have viewed their life as just another day, just a grind. And they really look deep. They find out that there's something more to it than that. There's something disconnected between you and them. And God, I pray they remember and recognize a story like Naaman's. He had his own agenda. He had his own deal. But at the end of the day, he submitted to you. He remembered and recognized that you are God. And he trusted in your sovereignty. God, that's all we can do sometimes. We're all going through stuff. But that does not mean we have to be numb to you and to others. So God, work on our hearts today. Work on our hearts this week. Let us be just real and honest with ourselves. And let us just remember that we can trust you because you're working. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.